Well, good morning. I have the pleasure of introducing Paul Duncan, our speaker. He's here with a group from Mintz St. Vincent, which is a seminary in St. Vincent in the Grenadines, way down in the Caribbean island chain. You can tell who the visitors are because they are the ones who clap without being told to. They're going to be here next Sunday, so you guys who are the regulars, you have a week to learn how to clap. So Paul has been here before. This is your third time here?
My second time.
Second. Mm-hmm. But you were, okay, but I thought you've done the Mintz twice, and last summer you were here with...
Yeah, with the church.
Yeah, with the church. So he has two jobs. He's the director of the Mintz St. Vincent program, and that will be ending eventually here in a year or so. He's also a pastor of Hope for Life Church in St. Vincent. And I met Paul first, I think, in 2011,
yeah,
where he invited me to preach down in St. Vincent. And not preach. Oh, actually, I did preach a lot. I taught all day long, and then I spoke in evenings. So you worked me hard. And but I fell in love with the place and the people there, as you all have, having many of the people here. So Paul is going to come and talk about Psalm 23. I don't believe he was a shepherd. But if you're in St. Vincent, you get to see a lot of goats. Go on, Paul.
Thank you, Jim. It's a good morning to Candlewood. It's good to be home. It is truly is home. And every time I come to this place, it's almost as though a piece of me wants to always stay here. It seems as though this time the whole of me wants to stay. But I want to thank you very much. You are truly family.
Amen.
You're truly, truly family. And I just want to let you know that your investment, your encouragement, your ministry to us, to me, my family, to Mintz, is one that will live in our hearts for a long time. A long time. I bring you greetings from my wife, yes, Camille, especially to Jeannie. She said, make sure to tell Jeannie hello for me. Okay, but she told me to tell everyone hello as well. I asked her about Glenn. She said, don't bother with Glenn. He's all right. Okay, but it's good to see you, Glenn. It's great to see you, brother. Yeah. It's good to see Owen as well. It's good to see everyone. You're looking so beautiful down there. I just want to say that this is our fourth batch, our students. The first batch was in 2013. Then we had one in 2015, 2017. We had a large group then. And this one, a group of 12. This is our fourth batch. In all, from that time, in all, this would be 41 students that have come. Yeah. And if I am to tell you what all the students who came before, what they're doing now and so on, it will take the rest of the day. As a matter of fact, some of them almost wanted to force their way into some of our suitcases to come back. June and Xenia and Velma. Velma was actually begging me, please take me with you again. I said, no, one chance. You got one chance. But it's truly, truly wonderful. I would like to specially thank Jim and the Life Connections staff for the... The incredible, invaluable service and contribution that they've given to us over the years. And it has made a big difference. It really has. And as I always say to the students, what they're giving to us, we really can't pay for that. We really can't. It's just the majority of students always have the same thing to say, that my life has been changed. My life has been changed. It's just so different. And so, on behalf of Mince and Vincent, Dr. Walford Thompson, the chairman of the board, everyone else, I just want to say to Jim and Beth, especially Jim and Beth, and the Life Connection staff, thank you very much for all the work. Thank you. And thanks to Pastor Mike and Candlewood. Matter of fact, I had the honors of using, the privilege of using some of those notes from the Leadership Summit last year in one of our preaching just a few weeks ago, servant leadership, and it was really great. I want to thank for that. Later on, I'll be meeting with Mike sometime before we leave and to have some time of fellowship. God truly is good. I just want to share with you for just a few minutes on Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Before we go any further, though, I just want to ask all of the students from Mensa here to stand. Just stand where you are so we can see you. Okay. If I'm to tell you the different denominations or churches that have been represented here, it's just astonishing. Okay? But God has truly blessed Mensa as a cross-cultural school of having students from all walks of life to take part in this. It surely says and sees that God truly is a God of unity. He could bring people from wherever you are, what church you are, wherever you represent, He could use anybody. Thank you. Yeah, only one thing we need to work on, we need to get more men to come. And that is something we are working on. Okay. Psalm 23. I'm going to have us to read it together as a church. Psalm 23. Let us stand and read it together as a family. I think it should be on the screen. Yes. 3, 2, 1. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. As I submit myself to Your Spirit, I am just but an instrument, a vessel to be used. We pray that Your word will go forth and rest upon the heart of Your people. Let us not just be hearers of Your word, but doers of Your word. We thank Thee for Thy word once again. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may kindly be seated. Thank you. I'd like to share with you the shepherd in the valley. The shepherd in the valley. I was never a full-time shepherd. And I will share a story with you as a boy. One of my chores was to tie out sheep before I go to school. And I will share with you later on. It was one of my duties that my father gave me and my brothers to do. And I learned a few things in those early stages of my life about being, I would say, a sort of a late shepherd. A late shepherd. But two things I want to touch on here. First of all, one, the issue of debt. David made mention, okay, about the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me. And this is really something that is very, very powerful. The fear of debt. Why are people so afraid of debt? I can think of a number of reasons. One, we fear the unknown. That's the first one. We fear the unknown. First of all, we fear the unknown. Debt is an unknown. none of us have ever experienced it. And with a few exceptions, none of us have experienced death, have ever come back to life. So we fear the unknown, what the future has to hold. When you really think of it, I prefer for us to face the unknown, because if God is to show us the future, some of us might probably want to say, you know what, forget about it. I don't want to live again. But we fear the unknown. But it is something to understand that we have no control over time. And the difference between God and us is that we live in time. God not only controls time, he lives outside of time. You know, I've always said to them, if you're watching a football match, or if you're watching a game, whether American football or soccer or whatever, and if you are a spectator in the stand, and sometimes you wonder how your team lost. Let's say we are watching a game of soccer and you are rooting for one team. And you're saying, well, I don't understand how they could have thrown away all those goals. Chances upon chances, and they blew it. You know, but if you put yourself in their shoes, if you go on the field, you will realize it's not that easy. It is so much easier when you are a spectator outside looking in, you get to see the whole picture. God is outside of time. And as a result of that, he is able to see where time is going. He is also part of time as well, because Christ came into time. And so, God does not measure time the way we do. And that is why we question, why is it God doesn't come true for me right now? I have been so faithful. I have done everything. And maybe David himself had reached a point in his life, you know, I have been anointed to be king. He made all these promises, and why am I going to hell? You know, but God does not measure time the way we do. For the Bible states that a thousand years like one day to God. Okay? And so even Job himself experienced the suffering to know that God does not measure time the way we do. What the Bible states is that he will give us the grace sufficient to sustain us and to keep us. So we fear the unknown. Second, we also fear separation. We fear separation. There are several separations that take place at death. First of all, there is separation from the body. And Jerry a while ago was reading from 1 Corinthians 15, and it was talking about the mortal and the immortal and so on, and the corruptible and the incorruptible. Separation of the body. Okay? And so, we fear separation. That's why we have sad times at funerals. I don't really like funerals, but as a pastor, it's my duty to officiate these things. I remember just about 2 weeks ago, I did one at church, and one of our members lost her mother. And the rule is that, you know, once the coffin is closed, once the casket is closed, it's closed. And she was there sobbing, I'm not leaving until I see my mother one more time. And so the pallbearers had to get my permission, like, Pastor, should be open, and she was there sobbing. And I said, give her one more chance to see her mother, you know, to see. You know, we fear separation. When I went to visit the family after the death and so on, she said to me, the house feels so empty. It doesn't feel the same again. What she's simply saying there is that she is not coping well with the separation. Okay? And so that's why we fear that, because we fear separation. And then for the unbeliever, death also means separation from God, and this is the worst. This is the worst one. It's one thing to be separated from family, but to be separated from God. We have, of course, what is called physical death. When Adam sinned, he first died spiritually. There was a separation between God, Adam and God. No wonder why he hid himself and God had to cover them. And as a result of spiritual death, man began to die physically as well. I will shorten his days. But there is always hope. But there is one that is called the eternal separation. And that is the worst one. It is where we are separated eternally from God if we do not repent and make it right. So we fear separation. The third reason why we fear death is that we fear judgment. We fear the judgment. The third reason we fear death is because we fear judgment. Death in itself is a judgment. That's right. It's not a compliment. Death is a judgment. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But there is also judgment that comes after death. Hebrews 9:27 states, it is appointed for man to die once and then to face judgment. And so that means that we cannot continue in sin without the consequences. So there is the fear of judgment. But the believer is not fearful of that. I'm going to get to that. The believer ought not to be fearful of death. The believer ought not to be fearful of separation. And the believer ought not to be fearful of judgment. And I will share with you why he ought not to be so. We fear the finality of death. The fourth reason we fear that is because death is final. Or as the Bible calls it in Job 16:22, the journey of no return. There is no coming back. And this is perhaps the reason why people fear death the most. There is no cheating of death. I want to tell the story about a guy. They said death came looking for him. And when death found him, death said, well, your time has come. And he pleaded, give me one more chance. One, please, just give me one more chance. And death said, you know what? All right, fine. I'll give another chance. So death left him. Sometime later on, death went looking for its next victim. So death found itself in a bar, in the nightclub, looking for its next victim. And astonishingly, death happened to find the same man who begged for pardon. And death said to him, well, you know, I never really came to look for you. I came to look for someone else, but since you are here, I might as well take you too. You know, there is no cheating of that. No, there is no negotiation. There is no bargaining. Okay? Death comes for us all, and when it comes, there is no turning back. There is no negotiating. There is no return. We fear the finality of death. But I love what David was saying here. David, as a believer, had no reason to fear that. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And there's a reason for that. David came, his life was strengthened to the point numerous times where he actually faced the very shadow of death. But God helped him. God helped him. God secured him. God kept him from facing death. You see, because David, as a young man, grew up as a shepherd. And he would have learned what it was like to protect the sheep. So he himself, just before he slew Goliath, he spoke about how he protected his sheep from the bear and the lion. So David himself understood what it was like to face the very shadow of death, but because of the presence of the shepherd that kept him. The sheep is only safe in the presence of the shepherd. Only in the presence of the shepherd, the sheep is... The thief doesn't come by to harm the sheep while the shepherd is there. No. He waits until he has an opportune time when the shepherd has turned his back. So David, the reason why we have no need to fear death is because of the presence of the shepherd. That's right. David was not afraid. Why? Because he had a shepherd to guide him through. The presence of the shepherd was the key to David's lack of fear in the face of that. That's right. First, he is the shepherd in all circumstances. The shepherd that we serve, the shepherd we have, he is not a seasonal shepherd. He is not a dry season shepherd. You ever heard of dry season friends? Oh boy, when everything is going good for you, everything is working out for you, you have it all, and they are there. They are always there when everything is good. Boy, but as soon as your life is turned upside down, as soon as everything starts going the opposite way, they are nowhere to be found. Okay? They are there for you in the dry season. But as soon as the stormy season comes, they are nowhere to be found. But guess what? We have a shepherd who is there for us, not only in the dry season, but in the stormy season as well. He's there. Furthermore, he is not only there in the stormy season, he is in the very storm with us. He will see us go through the storm, and David would have gone through his stormy times, and the shepherd was there for him. As I was sharing earlier on in during our devotion, the disciples, they were on the boat, and a strong storm came from out of nowhere, and they cried, "Master, would you leave us to perish? Help us now!" And Jesus just rose up and rose his arm into the wind and said, "Peace. Be still." They only made it through because Jesus was there with them. Could you imagine if he was not there? And they knew who to call upon. I tell you something. We are by far much safer in the midst of the storm with Jesus than not being in the storm without Jesus. It is better to be in the storm with Jesus than to not be in the storm without Jesus. Because he will not just cause, and there are times when you ask the question, why doesn't he calm the storm? Not every time he will calm the storm. There are times he will calm the storm, but there are times he will guide us through the storm. There were times when he would have calmed the storm for David. But there are times, as a shepherd, he allowed the storm to rage, but he guided him through. And David, right here, this is a testimony. He is showing that he was going through a storm, through the valley of the shadow of death. But guess what? His shepherd guided him through. He didn't allow him to take a back road or to take a detour or to take a bypass. He led him through it. God's plan is not for us to sidetrack his purpose for us, but to take us through it. And it made David a better man. So he is a shepherd in all circumstances. Jesus is a shepherd in all circumstances. He's a shepherd for all seasons. He is not only a shepherd of green pastures and quiet waters, but he is also the shepherd who walks us through the dark valleys and the difficult times. I remember as a boy growing up, I was in my early years of secondary school. My brothers and I happened to be the youngest. My father got some sheep. Well, he actually bought one sheep, and that sheep multiplied and then we actually went from 3 sheep to one time to over 50 of them. Wow. It was so much. And And our job, my brothers and I, we had to see to it that the sheep, that they were tied out. Every morning, you had to take them out. And when we get them from school, when we would have gotten them from school, to bring them back in. Well, one night, a sheep was missing. Couldn't be found anywhere. And it was dark. I dare not go to my bed and not go and find a sheep. I had to go and find a sheep. I went with my torch, my flashlight. It took me a few hours. I went everywhere. I said, "Dad, I've searched everywhere. I have not seen the sheep. We have done everything." He said, "Keep searching. He's somewhere there. Keep searching for the sheep." I became frustrated, you know. And then about 9 o'clock, I was searching from around 6 o'clock the evening until 9 o'clock that night, for about 3 hours. And as I went deeper and deeper into the bushes, the sheep happened to, it was tangled. Not just tangled, it was tangled in peg wire, or what you call barbed wire. So, and I had one flashlight. And I had to be careful how I untangle the sheep, because if he doesn't stay still, you know, he might damage me as well. He might, you know, because it's barbed wire. He's barbed peg wire. So I had to do it gently. I had to untangle him. Take my time. Untangle that sheep until it was loose. And I took him home. But while I was doing that, I felt sorry for the sheep. I felt very sorry. You know what came to me later on? You know, that's how God feels for us when we are tangled up in sin. When we are in darkness, tangled and wrapped up in sin, that's how He feels for us. He feels sorry for us. And He is a shepherd who will, whatever it takes, if it's the one sheep, He will come looking for us. He will never stop searching, because He cares for the sheep. He is a shepherd who cares in all circumstances. You know, I remember one time, because, you know, we would have eaten sheep as well. My father, one of his workers, he was getting married, and my father gave him a sheep. But I had no idea that my father had killed another sheep as well for himself. And so my father had a cook and everything, and I was eating it. Now, I thought I was eating the sheep from the wedding. He had. So I said to my father, "I have searched everywhere for the other sheep, and I can't find it." He said, "You're searching for the sheep when he is in your belly?" He said, "The sheep is neither here nor there. The sheep is within you." That was really something else. I had no idea that it was the sheep, that the sheep I was looking for, I was eating the sheep already. But he is the shepherd in all circumstances. He would take us through the dark valleys and everywhere. The rod and the staff. Now, David finally mentioned of the rod and the staff. The shepherd used the rod to fight off wild animals. The rod was used as a tool, a weapon, to fight off wild animals. He used the staff to guide. The rod is just a stick. The staff is the one that has that kind of a hook, you know, on top of it that looks like a bend. Okay, that's a staff. And if the sheep is going out of line, he would put the staff around his neck to get him back in line, to guide him back. So, the rod is used to fight off the animals, and the staff to guide, to control the sheep. So yeah, David speaks of the Lord guiding and protecting him from harm, even as he walks through the dark valley. This is a great comfort to us as believers. Even as we walk through the passageway of death. I was meditating on this. Could you imagine that? Death has no power over the believer. He has no authority over the believer. Why? Because of the death of Christ. I once heard a saying about the bee. the bee only has one sting. If you study the life of the bee, once the bee has stung that one sting, he will die afterwards. And I thought of it and I said, you know, Jesus took the sting for you and me. He took the sting so that we wouldn't have to take the sting. And just as Jerry read earlier on, because he took the sting for us, he has conquered the grave and conquered death. We do not have to take the sting anymore because the shepherd took the sting for us to protect us. He protected us from the sting of death. And David was making note of that. I want to conclude here with this illustration, how God protected. My sister and I were walking in a lonely mountain village in Japan. And night was coming on when we started to return home. We committed ourselves into the hands of the Lord and felt certain He would see us through. As we were about to enter the thick woods to which our road ran, we saw two Japanese men in front of us, and we felt they meant mischief, as if to do us harm. So we cried out to the Lord to stand by us. Then there came a great black Newfoundland dog. It stepped between me and my sister as if to protect us, and then barked fiercely at the men as if to tear them into pieces and chase them away. The dog then guided us directly all the remaining 3 miles right to our door. After stepping inside, the dog lay all night on the floor keeping watch. In the morning, it went away as mysteriously as it appeared. The dog not only protected them, but it watched over them. It watched over them during their dark hours in the night, and it protected them to ensure that they got a good night rest. That's the shepherd we have. When we are sleeping, who knows what's happening? But we know that we have a shepherd who is watching over us, even when we are going through our dark valleys, even when we are going through our trials and tribulations and everything. We have a shepherd. He is not just a shepherd on the mountain. He is a shepherd in the valley. When we cannot cross our bridges, He will make a way for us. When there seems to be no way, He will make it happen. The Lord is my shepherd. And finally, I just want to say, David mentioned in the closing of this psalm, goodness, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When I am being led by the shepherd, when I am in the will of God, I have no need to go looking for goodness and mercy. Rather, it will come looking for me. You have no need to go looking for it. When you're in God's will, when you're being guided by the shepherd, your goodness and mercy will come looking for you. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your word today. I want to thank You for the fact that You are our shepherd, and we would have no other. You are the shepherd who have been there for us. You have guided us. You are the shepherd who brought us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. You are the shepherd, dear God, that even when we are going through our travails, our tribulations, You are there to comfort us, to lead us. And so we want to thank You, dear God. There is nothing we could do or say, dear God, that would warrant, that make us worthy of Your loving kindness. But thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for His blessing. And so, dear Father, as the psalmist David would have said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I thank You for Your goodness and mercy. I thank You for Your guidance in Christ's name. I pray for this church now. I pray for Candlewood. I pray for Pastor Mike. I pray for the board. I pray for the members. I pray for everyone that the shepherd, You are the shepherd of Candlewood, and You would guide this church into Your purpose and Your glory, dear God. I dedicate this church and pronounce a shepherd's blessing upon this congregation. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. In Christ's name. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Were you encouraged? Yeah, so was I. This psalm is, there's a reason why it's so precious to so many people, because it speaks to all of us in our own situation, no matter how wonderful or how miserable that situation is. So let me offer you a suggestion this week. A while back, Pastor Mike talked about reading through John chapter 17, which was Jesus' prayer for his disciples, and reading through that every day. And as a matter of fact, I think last time Paul was here, he preached on that passage. I just remembered that. Let me offer a suggestion this week. Psalm 23, some of us may have even memorized this psalm, but even if you've memorized it already, I'd suggest read through that every day and meditate on it as you read. Take your time, digest it, chew on it. Do that every day and see what kind of effect that has on your day-to-day life, whether you're going through marvelous times or whether you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. And we may go through those multiple times even within the course of a week. We may have mountaintops and we may have valleys. We may have valleys that just last for a while. But see what effect studying and meditating on this psalm might have on you as you go through it for a week, okay? And remember, you know, like we say, your ministry starts when you go through these doors, because you're surrounded by people who are going through valleys. And so ask the Lord to show you how to be an encouragement to the people around you, how you can shine Jesus' light right smack in their faces so that they can't miss him, okay? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for Paul and his message, and for our visitors from Mintz. Lord, it's always a blessing to see these guys again. So, Father, I pray that as they bless us by their presence, I pray that we would also be a blessing to them. I pray that their training time here over these next couple of weeks would be something that you could use for your glory through their lives as they return back home and put these things to use. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.